It's not easy living on a dying planet, but it is easy to feel overwhelmed when it comes to making changes and taking action to try and save it. Where do you start? Is it even worth it? Can you really make a difference? Welcome to the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast, where we attempt to answer these questions by spilling the tea on living sustainably in a world that's going to shit. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Hannah. And for years we've been navigating the big, messy grey area of caring about our planet. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, but we're not giving up yet. So, brew yourself a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's try and navigate that grey area together.
Hello, Give a Shitters. This is Brandy.
And this is Hannah, and you are listening to episode number 22 of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Woo! Hannah told me it was my turn to woo, so that's my woo attempt. Yeah.
We just need to like record a wooing sound to like put in.
Oh yeah. I don't know, I think it's a bit more authentic based on how we're feeling that day. That'll affect the tone of the woo. I don't know.
I think we're both quite tired this morning.
Yeah, still waking up.
I've got my coffee.
Oh, I meant to make another cup. Tea. I was gonna make either another cup of coffee or tea, but I didn't. Oh well. I'll do it after. Anyway, today we are talking all about decluttering, which our friend Ellie had sparked the idea for this this chat, and I think it's a good timely episode, beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get various Christmas gifts, or maybe you hit the sales and you're making room for new things, or it's just like a kind of good way to like refresh the year. A lot of people will start with like their closets. So I thought it would be a good way to kind of tackle like, okay, how to declutter.
Right.
With like the planet in mind, because
it's
easy and nice to think that, oh, I'm donating it, so someone else is getting use out of it. But as we will discuss, so that is not always the case.
And I think part of when we talked about it, we were talking about it with Ellie, like things she brought up was like, also, how do you like declutter the like awkward things? You know, we kind of maybe have in our minds like how we might get rid of, or how we think we can sustainably get rid of something, which may or may not be as sustainable as we think. But, you know, something I think I remember her saying, like, she had like a skipping rope. Like, you know, what do you do with that? Or like a, you know, like you're rope? Like, right, a jump rope. A skipping rope.
Skipping rope, jump rope. I mean, yeah, I suppose you consider that skipping.
Yeah, it's still definitely skipping.
But you're
it's
also
not jumping.
Like jumping.
I mean,
like
it's,
your body and action. Feet are
Wait,
leaving
so would
the
you
air.
Say?
I guess to me, skipping is you like know, you're so skipping down a street, down a sidewalk. Like it's another form. Oh. Like it's not walking. You're skipping down. Like you're going from one place to another. But I suppose you could
I
skip
mean, that's
in
also
place.
How we use skipping, but we definitely use skipping for like the with the rope.
Mm.
That we wouldn't say like, you know, jump rope or whatever you guys say.
So I guess the question is what makes a skip a skip and what makes a jump? Anyways.
And once you're finished with the activity, how do you get rid of skipping rope or jump rope that you no longer want? Or like I was thinking because I was like, you know, like the kind of on the same vein as like slightly exercisey things. I was like, oh, I've got some like yoga blocks that I've never used, and at this point I'm like, I'm probably not gonna use them. How would I get rid of them? So it was also about that, like how do we declutter some of the old things. I'm not really sure I have an answer.
It's hard to have for like those awkward things. It's hard to have like a general answer because it'll be so dependent on where you live in terms of like if you're trying to like recycle it, or like, but that's I'm thinking more like light bulbs and batteries, things you've used. So items that you no longer have a use for that are in good condition. I don't know. It depends on like, your kind of your circle of like friends and family, like who do you know might use it. But as far as like a place to take it to, that'll be entirely dependent on where you are.
But that's definitely like a good said your family and friends and like looking at your circle first is like a good way both to just like to get rid of things. I mean, obviously if they want it, pressurizing people to take your junk, but also that can be a good place to start for things that you kind of need occasionally but you don't want to store. You might, if you ask around, there might be someone who you can borrow those things from first. Or, you know, you can, if you're wanting to try out like a new activity, the yoga blocks, mm-hmm. you know, if I'd have been able to, like, you know, I'm sure there's someone I know who might have had some that they weren't using, mm-hmm. or it's fairly likely. And then I'd have realized, actually, I have zero motivation to do yoga and didn't need to buy yoga blocks. Hard mm-hmm. in the moment, because it is, you know, we have access to very affordable products financially. Whether they're like affordable on a planetary level is another question, but like so it can be, oh, I'll just like pick this thing up, but actually, and it feels like more, you know, it feels harder to like, I'll be like, go through that whole process of like asking around, you know. But
yeah, I think,
but that might be a good place to start.
I think the best way to answer how to declutter better is to answer how to buy better or not buy at all. Mm-hmm. So like using, yeah, like the things you just said, asking around, or using what you have, maybe, I don't know, there were existing things you could have used as yoga blocks temporarily to see if it was something right. that like you liked and were going to do. Cause I think often we fall into this habit of like, no, I need to buy the thing that's going to allow me to do the thing, like the perfect right. running shoes. Well, no, you can just run and then see if like,
yeah,
if that sticks. And I think compiling like a list of like whatever questions or resources that like you can go to first before buying something would mm-hmm. be like a great kind of little barrier to put into place. But say you, I don't know, you've done your January or beginning of 2023 declutter. Sorry, door slamming in my building again. What do you do with all this stuff? It's likely mostly clothes. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is some things like quote unquote skipping ropes. So what do you do with them? Because I when I was researching for this, a lot of it's like clothing focused, the stats and like articles I found, because right. that is like, I think, one of the more common things people do and do more frequently and more volume. I certainly do. That's what I kind of donate the most. So yeah, I think you're at this point now where it probably does feel very overwhelming to think of how to better kind of get these, let's say, clothing items out of your home, because, you know, just taking it to the donation center down the road or charity shop, their store, whatever it is, a much smaller percentage than what you think is actually getting resold to someone else to then like right. get use out of it, which I'll link all the kind of stats I found on that. Which is a shame. Like, it's very nice and easy to think like, oh yeah, like I don't need this item anymore. It's not my style anymore. Maybe it doesn't fit. Let me just donate it. That automatically means it's going to get reused. So that's, I think, where like kind of the guilt comes in. But I remember when we first talked about like the idea for this episode, if like that's where you're at now and you have all this like stuff, maybe mostly clothes to like get rid of. I don't know. Personally, I think it is a bit more motivating to just like kind of swallow that like guilt pill and donate it, knowing that, okay, it's probably going to end up, more of that's probably going to end up like, either in, a country that like in Africa that causes a lot more harm than good, just dumping our stuff on them or incinerated landfill. And then like doing better in the future, mm-hmm. which might not be, the best option. It's not the most planet friendly option. It would be nice to like do your research and kind of figure out, okay, what's the best thing I can do with these clothing items or skipping ropes or whatever mm-hmm. it is around your house, yoga blocks. But if like you just get it out, and then, okay, you take that guilt to then, like, drive maybe a bit of research mm-hmm. and, okay, where can, in the future, where's a better place I can take this item? Maybe old towels I can take to an animal shelter. And then having that list, but then combining that with, like, yeah, like some questions mm-hmm. asked before buying new things, I think would be more kind of impactful and sustainable in the long term. So, like, just do the not perfect thing now.
Right.
And then give yourself some time to like kind of do better moving mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways there's like, in some ways that what you've just said is like kind of inevitable to mm-hmm. happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like there's definitely times I've like hung on to like a couple of bags of things I need to do. I don't want them. I need to do something with them, but then I haven't. Mm-hmm. And I've just got to a point where I'm like, I'm just like going to chuck them,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they're just like taking up space. And maybe it's better just to like get to that point intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, and just being like, okay, I've got all these things. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like hard to say that because it is kind of most of the time like a shitty option.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, then on the other hand, like you say, a lot of the things that we do thinking that they're like having a positive impact or that take away mm-hmm. our guilt,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, I'm like donating, I'm recycling, et cetera, et cetera. They don't really have the impact that we think they have.
Mm-mm.
And even if you've done the research and you know, I mean, you still do. Oh, I still do
it. You need to do something based on that research. So like, and what that would be would look differently. Because one thought I had was that, yeah, like it is nice to have that thought that you're going to donate something and have some sort of impact. Like Goodwill is like one of the most popular thrift stores in the US. And a lot of the proceeds go to like providing jobs and like supporting local community. Like it is good, but like, I think only about half of like the clothing actually gets resold. And then from there, it gets right. like, resold to like other third parties. Like, what do they call them? Like mm-hmm. clothing salvagers, or I forget. I don't like the article I was yeah. reading. And then it just kind of goes down and down from there, whether it gets shipped to another country or incinerated or landfill.
Right. Yeah. And I just think as well, I mean, then this goes back to like buying better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like,
go
it's
listen
like,
to our episode yeah, on like shopping. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
You're spending money.
But it's like if you buy better quality clothes,
mm-hmm.
if you can, you know, obviously afford to, then it's likely that when you get to a point when it doesn't fit, it's not your style anymore, whatever, that you'll be able to donate it and it will actually be resold or someone mm-hmm. might genuinely want it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the clothes or the very like fashion specific, like trend specific items,
mm-hmm.
then it's obviously going to be harder,
right,
for those items to either have the quality necessary or like to be even interesting to someone, you know,
right? Because like, a lot of these like the articles I was reading were saying that like most stores, whether it's a thrift store or, you know, consignment stores, places like in the mm-hmm. US, Buffalo Exchange, Plato's Closet, that they buy your clothes for like a low price kind of on the spot mm-hmm. and then resell it, that they, especially those, like they can only take like current like trends. So that in a way actually I think perpetuates the like buy what's like in season and then like donate it quickly, because then they're only going to buy it from you.
Okay, that's interesting.
If it's like in season, obviously in good condition as well. And
right.
What else was I reading? Oh, that there was a line in an article about like resell apps, which, you know, I am a big fan of Vinted and occasionally have some issues overindulging in it a bit. But there was this article on theatlantic.com, I like that. I was talking about the downside of resell apps is that there are a lot of work for the sellers, which is why often mm-hmm. I don't bother. She talks about going back and forth to her, like, local post office. Local consignment or resale stores can take some of the legwork out of, like, you know, packaging and going and selling the item, mm-hmm. shipping it yourself. The bigger issue that is that resale apps and services aren't really... Go away. Sorry, my Grammarly is blocking the next sentence. is that resale apps and services aren't really a bulwark against overconsumption, even though they feel that way. And even though they're mm-hmm. often marketed as such.
Right.
Buying secondhand is definitely preferable to buying and discarding brand new stuff. But if you're constantly cycling through clothes and chasing trends, and you're still just as much caught in the teeth of the fashion system as the rest of us. Which I read that, I was like, oh, yeah. Guilty. I feel like I've just substituted, yeah. like, you know, shopping at like Primark for Vinted. But I'm still like consuming similarly. So that's another element.
Yeah, that's like a kind of big mindset one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've gone back to like the pre-decluttering step though.
Yeah. So I think...
And like, I think maybe as well, one thing going back to decluttering
mm-hmm.
if there's things that you know you don't want and you don't think anyone else will want, or that isn't in good quality to resell or whatever, or donate, then I think this is hard to do, but if you can sometimes break down a product into the separate parts, that increases the chance that something is recycled. I was just thinking, like, for example, like the skipping rope thing, if it's like a plastic skipping rope, maybe, I don't know this, but like, for example, can you like disconnect the handles? Because probably the handles on their own, or maybe depending on the type of plastic, it might be possible for them to be recycled, although plastic recycling is a whole the big issue.
Yes.
Or like removing, like breaking down, or if it's like a kind of like an old school skipping rope with like wooden like rope, like again breaking down those like two separate parts. You know, like fabric can maybe be recycled. If it's like fabric based, maybe they're recycled separately. Like together it can't be.
Yeah, but maybe there's like elements,
you know, or if you've got like an electronic item, can you like make sure you like take out the batteries, because those are quite easy to be like a good thing to like try and recycle, like take those to like a battery point, at least, you know, like at least take that step.
Right.
Because obviously the more, you know, and this is like just even for your like everyday recycling, like all those things people, and by people I mean me, like to think that can be recycled. You know, like your milk carton, actually a lot of the time it can't be recycled because it's like two different materials like put, which is really hard to separate.
Right.
But if there's some way you can help with that like separation yourself, if it's possible, it might not be possible. Maybe that's a way.
Yeah. Or maybe get creative with like how you can reuse something.
I don't know.
Like that skipping rope, like
right.
I think if that could be helpful in like, I don't know, moving a mattress and tying it down to like the back of your car. I don't know. I don't know why that's right. very specific that's use popped true. Into my head. Well, maybe because I've done that multiple times, and even as secure as you think it is, before you hop on that highway, it's not as secure as you think it is.
Okay. But it's true, actually, like, you know, maybe, you could use that length of rope, whether it's plastic or like fabric, you know, to do something with it.
Maybe even like designating like some place in your home, whether it's a bin under the bed or a box in your garage of like, okay, if I don't reuse this, if this is still in the box in however many months, pick a time frame for you, 3 months, 6 months, then okay. Then I'll get rid of it to give it like a chance before just immediately like tossing it. And for electronics, I know
like, that's a good.
Sorry,
I was just going to say it was a good point.
Thank
you. That was a good point, Brandy.
Thank you, Hannah. For electronics, I know there are in the U.S. an old laptop that I couldn't find someone to use. So I like wiped it as if it was like a factory reset, and then sent it in for free. And they specialize in like recycling the parts of electronics. So that's an option, and that's very dependent on where you are, whether that is available. I think,
you know what I saw in Madrid, which is so random, and I didn't know they did this, but you know, beneath the signs, like advert signs, you know, they're like the kind of thick. And the bottom of them, they have the points for recycling batteries.
Yeah, I've seen those at bus stops.
I was like, that's such like an ingenious like way. I don't know. I hadn't really noticed it until I was with someone who was like doing it. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I think they have like three. There's like the regular batteries, like double or triple A. Then I think there's like the tiny ones.
Like the circle ones.
Flat circle ones, yeah. And then was the third one for like, I don't know. There are three. I've only ever used those.
There's like three whole. Don't know.
Anyways, just keep an eye out. Even like in your local grocery store, there might be like a container for batteries.
Or maybe this thing seasonal, which again, this like fits with the like keeping something for X amount of time. You know, obviously if it's like good quality and like usable, but I'm just thinking like, again, for example, with like toys or like good quality clothing items, like, you know, if you can keep a hold of that, for example, until like kind of November time, when there's often like drives for like toys or clothes, you know, like winter clothing for homeless or like toys for children who might not get as much at Christmas. Again, those are quite specific things, but maybe there's things that are more like certain times of the year, you're more likely to get rid of them in a way that's like genuinely helpful.
Yeah, that came up in the articles I was reading about, like, don't donate winter clothes in the summer and vice versa. Like, wait until it'll likely, like, actually get resold. There's a need for it.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I ultimately think that, like, you have to do some your own research for, like, the area you live. Like, where can you take coats? Like, is there an annual, like, coat drive near you? Is there, like, are there animal shelters that you could kind of jot down or, like, bookmark for like a ticket for future, you know, linens that no longer work, like you don't want for whatever reason. And especially if they're not in great condition, animal shelters would take those. So like, if you want to, like, it's great if you have the energy and time to like do that now, but like, if you've done a big declutter and like have all of this shit, then yeah, I'm going back to like, just get rid of it and know and feel like the not so positive impact that it's having. Know that it's not like, you know, sunshine and rainbows, that like all of these things are going to get reused by people, and then using that to drive like your kind of future action that I think would be a bit more bite-sized. Because ultimately, if you go into buying something, I think it's the mentality of like bringing in new things too. The mentality you have when you bring in new things is like trying to shift from, oh, when I no longer have use for this, I can donate it. I think going into it with the mentality of this will likely end up in landfill, I think is like a powerful thing that I've heard recently and I want to start implementing. So assuming that, yeah, it will be like landfill. How does that make you feel then about buying the thing or bringing the thing in, whatever it is?
Right. And I definitely, yeah, as well, like similar to that, like really recognizing how long that you're buying will be around for, you know, and most things you buy will outlive by hundreds of years. Like, I mean, like most plastics, most fabrics will take hundreds of years more to decompose than you will ever be alive, which maybe sounds a bit morbid, but it's okay. Is this thing worth it? And it might be. And of course, it's not all on you, because we're in a society where things have been like designed in that way. And those are like the materials that are like available and commonly used, or have been used commonly, even though that's changing. So obviously we're also limited around like what we can buy that's also like affordable. But yeah, there's like two factors.
It's interesting. It's like there's...
No, I'm like, fuck. Oh, shit.
This is like a hard kind of gray area to navigate, because on one hand, I'm thinking like what you're saying, like, okay, be kinder like to ourselves. Like, we're not in a system that's set up to like value things. What was the... There's a sociologist in the Minimalist documentary, is that we... how did she put it? We are no longer materialistic in like the true sense of the word, but we are like overly materialistic in like the modern sense. So like,
okay,
the original sense of the word, I think she meant, is like we value the materials, materialism, like we value and appreciate all of these things. But then like modern day use, and I think I'm totally butchering this, but the modern day use is more of like, it's like, I don't know, how you look, how you appear, keeping up with trends, and obsessed with like having things, the materialism, but like you don't really value the things. So like, it's a weird kind of mix. So yeah, we are in some ways like fighting a losing battle, because we're surrounded by like by all this pressure to bring in new things, which I know sounds like a different topic from decluttering, but I think they're very much related. And then because it to constantly bring in new things, then you have to then get rid of the previous things. So like, this week's trend, like last week's trend, is no longer relevant to like this week's trend. So you make room for this week's.
Yeah.
And there's just the sheer volume of stuff. Like, it's hard to sustainably declutter, recycle, when there's just so much of it.
Yeah.
So it's this, like, right. Okay, be kind to yourself, fighting a losing battle, but also, like, then I was, like, yeah, I was also saying earlier, like, let that guilt kind of drive future, like.
Mm-hmm. It's really, I think, is it just, like, feeling that,
makes sense,
like,
from trying to, like.
Yeah, no, it does, because I'm just going to, like, noting how I write. So I just, like, said that really harsh thing, which was, everything is going to outlive you, so you better be careful about what you're buying. And then I immediately wanted to, like, remove some of that guilt, right? Like, in that, how I just, like, phrase it. And then I went, but actually, you know, which is also true, but actually we live in a society where it's hard to do the right, that thing. So it's like this, like, tension. It's, like, very hard to, like, stay in that, you know. And also it's hard to stay in that space of, like, true guilt, true sadness, or, like, remorse, or, like, a heavy emotion. There's this, like, desire, I think, at least in me, or maybe, but I think other people do it as well, to, like, then soothe that emotion. But also it's not completely productive to stay in a space of, like, guilt and shame and, like, sadness, you know. I don't know, it's like, how do you, like, navigate those two emotions together? Like,
I don't know.
We live in this system. We need to feel this guilt or this shame or this sadness or this, like, frustration to, like, drive action. Or maybe we don't. Maybe that's not what drives action. Maybe it's, like, hope and, like, positivity, and that we can change.
Yeah, it is tough because society, capitalism, companies, like, want us to be in this cycle of, like, consuming and getting rid of, making room for more. So yeah, it is really hard to fight that, but it's, I mean, it kind of goes to the general, like, trying to, like, live your values more. It's, like, recognizing, and, like, individual action versus corporate action, like, recognizing that, like, they are different things, but they are related, and you can, like, understand and accept that, like, okay, so, like, society has impacted me negatively when it comes to consuming and, like, and trashing a large number of things. But I have, I do have a say, and I do have control over, like, what comes into my home. And then that can, like, I think, have a ripple effect of then how people around you start, like, viewing things, and maybe calling up their local shelter before just trashing their, you know, old towels. So I think, yeah, it ultimately comes out of, like, how important is it to you to take better care of your things? And that includes getting rid of them. Like, what happens to them after they no longer have a use for you? Because if we live in a world that, like, people say you can vote with your dollar, and obviously it's very dependent on your socioeconomic status, like, what, you know, buying the, like, $50 ethically made t-shirt over the $5 one, because that is quite a big difference. You can also choose not to buy something, and then you have less to declutter.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, say kind of general things when it is so dependent on, like, your, not just where you are in terms of, like, the resources you have to, like, to declutter your items, but like, what's important to you.
Right.
So for me, I think the approach I'm going to take is, like, I use one of those, like, granny carts. I don't know what the proper term is for them. Like, the grocery carts. So I have them to, I have one to, like, usually to, like, bring, like, cat litter up the stairs, because it's, it weighs a lot. But what I do is I will put, like, clothing in it that I would like to get rid of and go to Umana, which I found some articles on that. I'll link, because I don't think we have time to talk about something I wanted to talk about in that article. Anyway, it's currently full of, like, clothing that I was getting rid of. Like, I have bins under my bed. I have one bin of things that are too small and one bin of things that, like, I'm not sure about, maybe out of season. And that's, like, my limit. What fits in those bins is for that, like, those two categories. Like, that's my limit. So I'm slowly going through, and I have stuff to get rid of, and I'm going to take it to Umala, which is, like, a chain, mostly clothing, secondhand. But I will say that it only 14% of the clothing gets resold. And they are constantly doing, like, those sale days to, like, get rid of stuff. Like, everything's €4, €3, €2, €1. to bring in the new stuff. So, but I've also been going through, like, since COVID, like, of not just buying to, like, feel like I have some sort of control over what's going on in the world, but also, like, I wear different sizes now, and my style is also changing at the same time, and the type of clothing. So I'm in, like, a bit of, like, a weird period of, like, I am going through more clothing than I might normally.
Than you have been.
Yeah. So, I think I'm going to try to like, set that new mindset in my brain of, like, okay, this, if I bring this item home, it is unlikely to ever get used by anyone else. And then, like,
right,
the hope is that that will lead to fewer items coming in.
Right.
But then, yeah, but also being kind with yourself.
Might just stay in the shop.
Yeah.
And then just get chucked away.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, being, yeah.
So it's, there is no, it's like people's life work balance. There is no, like, kind of, like, destination, and then you're there. It's a constantly, like, evolving thing. Like, what do you have the capacity for right now? Do you have the time and energy to sort out your pile of stuff to get rid of, to ensure that it gets either used or recycled properly? Or are you at a time where you just need to get rid of it? And then,
right. And sometimes getting rid of things gives you, like, a lot of mental freedom.
Yes. So
depending on the type of person you are, sometimes just having all those bags piled up can be such a, like, a in your mind that it's also not particularly conducive. Like, it's not productive to have that stuff there.
So I give you, listener, permission to just get rid of it and then put some sort of system in place, simple, sustainable system in place for you to prevent this, prevent you, like, feeling like this again in the future, feeling overwhelmed by all the stuff that you no longer want. So whether that's setting barriers, questions to ask yourself before bringing items in, or, yeah, coming up with some sort of resource list of places around you where you can better kind of donate specific items, like we mentioned. I don't know. I don't know what that solution might look like for you, but this mindset thing is what I'm going to try. What about you? We have 3 minutes left.
What am I going to do? Great question. 2 minutes 55. I think, I don't know if there's anything specific. Maybe, yeah, maybe I'll take that permission to just throw away some things, and also maybe investigate a few more. Like, swap. I'm sure there's, like, Facebook swap groups.
Oh, yeah, there's so,
like,
many.
WhatsApp groups. You know, maybe there's, like, do that research now, like you say, for, like, when I next want something. And maybe, like, keeping a bit of a list of things that I've got in the back of my head that I want to try or want to do. So I'm not just kind of, you know, I'm, like, an impulsive shopper, I think. Like, oh, I need that thing. And then I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I am too. Absolutely.
Right. So, all right, listeners, let us know, are you doing a big declutter in January? Or a spring? Or
February, spring, March, yeah, whatever you're listening to this.
Whenever you're listening. let us know what you've done with the things, or the things that you've, like, found a great solution for, things you find most difficult to get rid of. Let us know. Send us a voice note
thetonsustainablelivingcom/contact. We'll share it in a future episode, or on Instagram @thetonsustainablelivingcom. You know where we are.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Now go share it with a friend,
a coworker,
a partner,
a family member,
or whoever.
A pet? Your cat?
Someone on the street? Whoever you think could use a little more support on their sustainability journey, share it.
You can send them over to our website, thetonsustainablelivingcom. And while you're there, check out the show notes for more info on today's topic.
All right, give a shitters. To you later. Get it? To you later, as in see you later. So funny.
Brandy.